care where you are in life. If you're on the mountaintop or you're in the deepest valley, when you cry out to Him, the Bible tells us Jesus hears you. So Jesus hears, and He tells His disciples, He says, go over and get the blind man and bring him to me. Now Bartimaeus is over here. He has no clue as to what's going on. And all of a sudden, his disciples come up and they grab Bartimaeus. He's probably thinking, who's going with me? Let go of me. What are you doing with me? And they say, the teacher wants to speak to you. Oh. Are you kidding? So they take Bartimaeus over to Jesus. And Bartimaeus knows the rules. You always waited for the rabbi to speak first. Remember what Jesus said to him? Bartimaeus, what would you have me to do for you? You know what Bartimaeus said? I want to see. I want to see. If Jesus came to you today and asked you, Steve, what is it you want me to do for you today? Cindy, what is it that you want me to do for you today? What would you say? You know what I think most people would say? Wow, I didn't have anything planned. I didn't know you were going to ask me this question. This is all so sudden. Can I get back to you on this? How did Bartimaeus know what to ask for? I'll tell you how he knew what to ask for. Because Bartimaeus had this conversation many, many times, thousands of times with his God. You see, Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was exactly who he was claiming to be. And he proved that belief by his actions, crying out to God no matter who was around. He didn't care. He was acting on his faith. And because he acted on it, a miracle took place. And ladies and gentlemen, it was not just Bartimaeus that was healed. It was everybody who was in the vicinity saw the miracle and their faith was increased. You know what we call that kind of person? A person of faith. Look at this. Faith is living like God is telling the truth. That's the way Bartimaeus was living. He didn't know Jesus was going to come, but he knew if he was in the area, boy, he just needed to get Jesus' attention, and he did. And the result of it was a miracle. He asked Jesus for what Jesus could do for him, and that's what Jesus did for him. And so what I want to ask you this morning is that, what is it that you need to ask Jesus for, and why are you so afraid to ask him? By faith. God wants to do something in your life that you cannot do on your own. But there's one thing that's stopping him. Fear. Fear. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. And we're going to read this together. It's from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and it's the Message version. So it's going to be on the screens, and I'm going to read it from behind you. Okay? Here we go. Let's read it together. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, one of my greatest fears is that I might not have enough faith. So I'm going to use the words from the very scriptures that you've given to us. Help my unbelief. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. So let's spend just a few minutes about looking about what faith is so that we have a clear understanding of this. I want to look at a couple things in the scriptures because you don't need to hear my point of view. You do need to hear God's point of view. Amen? This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. One more. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So in these two passages, we learn four things about faith. And the first one is this: God rewards those who seek Him. Did you hear that? God rewards those who seek Him. Let me put it a different way. If you put God first in your life, you get a reward. So let me tell you what I've done in my life. My habit is always I get up in the morning and I grab my phone, and the first thing I do is I look at what the temperature is, the weather, and then I go to Fox News. You know what I decided to do? I decided to test God and His promises. You know what I do now? First thing in the morning, even before I use the restroom, I grab my phone and I go to my devotion. You know why I do that? Because I'm proving to God He comes first. Has He rewarded me? Oh, much more than I ever thought or expected. Put God first. There's a second thing we learn from those verses. We live by faith. The third thing we learn from that is that we connect with one another by faith. And the last thing we hear is this: without faith, you can't please God. How many of you want to please God? Then let's show how to do it. Look at this. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Now, I want you to focus on those words, we cannot see. This is what God is telling us faith is. Faith is being certain of the things you can't see. I'm going to say that again. Faith is being certain of the things you can't see. So we're talking about vision here, right? And God is saying, I want you to see through my eyes. That's what faith is. It's not seeing in the lower story. It's seeing in the upper story. Faith is seeing things from God's perspective. Well, how do I see things through God's eyes? Great question. Look at what Ephesians tells us. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that He has given to those He called. Now, I want to go back to that word, understand. That's the Hebrew word for that means to see. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see the confident hope He has given to those He called, His holy people who are His rich and glorious inheritance. God is saying, I want you to see through faith. People, God wants to do a work in your life so that you can see that which is unseen. And how does He do that? By faith. So when we pray or we sing the song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, you are praying God's will. Why do we want our eyes open? So that we can see the unseen things. Now, let me show you kind of what I mean. I got a bottle of water here. How many of you can see this? Everybody can see it, right? Okay, now, what God is saying is that as real as this water bottle is, that you can see it, that which is unseen is more real. In other words, even though we see this water bottle, the Holy Spirit is present. You don't see Him. But God is saying in these passages that His presence is more real than this water bottle. And here's what I mean. Everything on this earth that you see with your eyes will one day be destroyed. But everything that is in the unseen world will live forever. Think about that. The unseen world is more real than what we see with our physical eyes. Well, I think maybe we need to kind of have a little bit of a lesson on what that looks like. And so what does that look like? Well, I found a couple of stories in the Bible that shows us how we see through the eyes of faith. The first one is from a young lady by the name of Hagar. Remember her? Hagar's a mother. She's a mother of Ishmael. She is in the desert at the time of this writing. You remember that Sarah and Abraham, God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. The dude was 100 years old. You know what Sarah did? She laughed. So Sarah and Abraham did what many of you do. Maybe what I know what I do is they said, oh, we're going to help you out, God. So Sarah says, take my servant Hagar. And so Abraham and Hagar come together and they have a child and his name is Ishmael. Well, so once Ishmael's born, Sarah can't handle this. So she boots Hagar and Ishmael out of the house. Now Hagar and the little boy are out in the desert. Watch what happens. Then God opened Hagar's eyes. And she saw a well full of water. She quickly filled her water container and gave the boy a drink. The boy was about to die. She separated herself from the boy because she didn't want to see her son die. And what did God do? He opened her eyes, and behold, there was life-saving water. There's the first one. The second one is a story about a man by the name of Gehazi. Gehazi was the servant to Elisha. Now, the king of Aram was really ticked at Elisha. And he was ticked at him because, in his own words, he says, it seems like everything I say in the privacy of my bedroom, that prophet of God is screaming out in public. And so they find out where Elisha is, and he's in a place called Dothan. So you know what they do? The king of Aram sends all the troops, and they surround the city. This is where we pick it up. Then God, don't be afraid, Elisha told him. He's speaking to Gehazi. For there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Now look what happens. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, O Lord, please make them blind. So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Once again, God opened their eyes and they saw, greater are those who are with us than those who are in the world. One more. Jesus is dead. The disciples are a basket case. Two of the disciples say, let's go to Emmaus. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? On the way to Emmaus, a stranger comes alongside of them who happens to be who? As they walk all the way, Jesus begins to share with them the scriptures, and then they sit down to eat. Here's where we pick it up. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and at that moment, he disappeared. You see what I mean? God opened their eyes so that they could see. And by faith, that's what God wants to do in each of our lives. Do you believe it? So let's look at the next part then. Faith is the opposite of fear. Now, in this portion of my message, I want to go back to the Old Testament, to Numbers 13 and 14, I believe it is. And I want to set up the stage for you, okay? The children of Israel, with Moses, have now come to the threshold of the Promised Land. There it is. They can see it. It's just across the Jordan. And while they're there, the Lord comes to Moses, and he says to Moses, I want you to pick 12 men I want the leader from each one of the tribes, and I want you to send them into the land to explore it. So these 12 spies go into the land. They're gone many days. Now when they get back, guess what? There's a problem. There's a conflicting report. Two guys say, the vegetation is unbelievable. Let's go get it. Let's take them. But 10 guys go, whoa, time out. Yeah, they're right. The vegetation is unbelievable, but there's always a big but when fear shows around. And that's what happened here. Two guys wanted to go in and take the land, but 10 didn't. Now, why is that? Okay, let's go back just a little bit, and I want to show you what was the mission that God gave them. Here's the mission. Let's read it very carefully with me. The Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So here's what happens. All 12 tribes were leaders in their tribes, or all of them that the spies were. All 12 spies received the same promise, and all 12 spies received the same opportunities. Now, here's the result. 10 of them said no. That was the majority report, because they misunderstood the mission. They saw God in light of their circumstances. 2 said go. They understood their mission, but they saw circumstances in light of their God. Now, I want to go back a second real quickly, and I want to go to the mission. Here it is again. The Lord said to Moses, send out the men to explore the land of Canaan. That's where 10 of the 12 stopped. They missed the most important part of the mission that God gave to them, which was what? The land I am giving to you. They missed that. Joshua and Caleb knew that they could go and take this land. Why? Because the Lord had already given it to them. Now, let me get back to where we were. I want you to look at these names, okay? And I want you to see if you recognize any of these. Shamua, Shaphat, Caleb, Eagle, Hoshea, okay, Hoshea is the Hebrew name for Joshua, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nebi, Geul. All right. How many of you have heard of all of those names before? All of them. These are the 12 spies. Here's what I want you to remember. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody remembers the people who live their lives in fear. They do remember the two men who live their lives in faith. I want to say that one more time. Nobody remembers all the negative people, but they do remember the people who live by faith. My friends, that's the difference between looking at things through the eyes of faith versus the eyes of fear. It's critical that you understand that. You know why? Because when those 10 spies shared with the rest of the group of people what they saw in the land, fear spread through the entire group. And because of those 10 negative people who saw through the eyes of fear, now listen to this, 2 million people went back into the desert to die. That's how serious this is. Those people had nothing to do with this. And yet, because these spies came out with a negative report, they didn't listen to God's word. And So God said, you know what? You're all going back out to the desert, and we'll meet back here in 38 more years. I remember when we were doing Heritage Keepers, we were in Nashville right after 9/11. We had a few thousand women that were there, and one of the speakers, Carol Kent, was on the stage, and she was speaking. And all of a sudden, just off to the right there, this woman stands up and kind of gives a really small scream. I'm telling you, I saw fear spread through that whole arena like I've never seen fear spread before. By the time I got there, you know what happened? She was choking on a lifesaver. Somebody performed the Heimlich maneuver, and when I got there, she spit that thing right and hit me right in the chest. But I want to tell you something. I was amazed at how quickly that fear spread. And here's what I want you to know, and I want you to know the media uses this against you. Fear and negativism are contagious. When they've got you scared, guess what? They've got you running. Look at the scriptures here. What does it look like when we see through the eyes of fear now? Our problems get bigger. Look at this scripture verse here. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. So here's what happens. The more that we focus on our problems, the bigger they get, right? I don't know about you, but before I go to bed, man, my problems are gigantic. You know why? Because fear is what is feeding my mind. But when I look at circumstances through God's eyes, fear exits. So what I've learned from that in my life is that when I'm dealing with any kind of issue, if there is any amount of fear, my friends, that is not faith. Because just like love, faith casts out all fear. So what was the problem here? They were afraid of the big men there. There's giants in that there land. All right, now let me just share this with you. 38 years later, here comes the children of Israel. Back to the exact same spot. And once again, the Lord and Joshua now send out some spies. Not 12, just a couple. You remember when they went to Jericho, they went to a woman by the name of Rahab. Watch what Rahab says here. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. Now watch this. This is Rahab's word. Everyone has been living in fear for 40 years. We've heard what the Lord had done to you. Isn't that amazing? Those 2 million people who died in the desert could have lived if they wouldn't have listened to those 10 majority negative criticism. These men who were lacking faith and only saw through fear, their lives could be saved. And they thought, or they were afraid of the giants. But look what the reality was. The truth was this. The people they were about to conquer were afraid of the Israelites. Why? Because they heard what God had done through them and to Pharaoh and Egypt. See, I want you to see through the eyes of faith. And the reason is because I don't want you to have to go back out in the promised land and die, or out into the wilderness and die. You see, if we see through the eyes of faith, we're all going to end up in the same place. And where's that? The promised land. How many of you want to live in the promised land? How many of you want your life to count for something? How many of you want to live by faith? Because here's the hard part. If you live by faith, you have to be a risk taker. You have to be a risk taker. You can't be comfortable. Let's go on. Number two, we sabotage ourselves when we see through the eyes of fear. You know what happens? And I hear this all the time. Let me see something here. When we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak, next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. You know what we do, and we're very good at? We sabotage ourselves. You know how we sabotage ourselves? We listen to the lies of Satan. Stop believing what other people are saying about you. It's not true. Don't see yourself as where you were. See yourself as where you're going. Don't focus on your sin. Focus on the Savior. That's what God has called us to do. Here's the last one. Number three is, we quit. It's God's fault. How many of us have done that before? Look at the verse on this. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better if for us to return to Egypt? Right now, I want you just to think for a moment, okay? Remember, when the children of Israel the first time got to the threshold of the promised land, it was not God who held them back. Please understand that. What was it that held them back? Fear. It was God's intention for them to go into the promised land the first time. But fear. They got the test of faith and they flunked. Guess what? They had to go back out there. Now, here's what I think is amazing. And we're just like this. Isn't it amazing how the days of slavery become the good old days? I mean, seriously, listen to me. 400 years they were in slavery. And now, remember the good old days? I want you to listen very carefully to this. You know why they wanted to go back to Egypt? Because even though they were in slavery, it was comfortable. Listen very carefully to this. Many times, comfort disguises this, or excuse me, slavery disguises itself as comfort. I'm going to say that again. Many times, slavery disguises itself as comfort. Why? Here's the reason. Because it's predictable. And when it's predictable, guess what? We know what's coming, therefore we are in charge. Thank you very much, Lord. I'll put you right on the shelf. And that's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to live not knowing what's ahead, but by faith we can trust Him. Even though we may not see it with our physical eyes, we will see it with our eyes. Look at this. Faith, now, when we look through the eyes of faith, faith shrinks my problem. Isn't that true? So, for example, here's what I've learned in my life. If Lori is my problem, and she's not, although she did raise both of her hands last week, hey, here's what I want you to know. If Lori is my problem, this is how I want to see her. Through God's Word. Because when I see her through God's Word, she's gorgeous. She's perfect. She meets all my needs. She does everything for me that I need her to do. But when I see her, or I see the Bible through my problem, now I get afraid. So here's what I want you to remember. Big God, little problems. Big problems, little God. Almost done. Is anything too hard for the Lord, the Bible says? And then it also says, for the word of the Lord of God will never fail. Why did God say that? Because it's true. Faith opens the door for a miracle. Oh. Today, we're about to open the door for a miracle. Did you know that? We're about about to open the door for a miracle. Because Bartimaeus had faith, all of the people around benefited from that. Look at this. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. This is the true message of the gospel. This is what we have available to us. We just have to believe. We pray. We ask God to give us wisdom. We ask the Lord, open my eyes that I can see. And then we move forward if we get the answer yes. And one of the ways is when we're all on the same page. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. You know that in Jesus, when he did his miracles, he did the majority of miracles, more than 80% of them, in a 15-mile triangle radius. You know why? Because nobody else believed. So here's what we learn from this. Oh, wait. Faith releases the promises of God. That's why. When you have faith, that releases the promise of God. Now, here's what I need you to know. Did you know that in the Bible there are more than 7,000 promises? 7,000 promises, and they're all for us. All we have to do is believe them by faith. But here's the key, okay? For all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding, what? Yes. That's what God wants to do in your life. So here's the key. This dog won the 2019 Ugliest Dog of the Year Award. Really? Okay? There's a $5,000 reward when it was lost. Now, if you study that very closely, there's a problem with that, isn't there? What's the problem? You don't even know where to get the reward, right? That would help, wouldn't it? I mean, there's no phone number. There's no nothing. We don't know where to get the reward. That's how the world sees God's promises. You know how we see the promises of God? By faith. And because we know the author of the promises, guess what? By faith, we can claim them. I wonder what the promise is that God wants you to claim. That he has for you, that he wants you to claim because it's yours. He's given it to you. Last thing. Now, glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayer, desires, thoughts, and hopes. That's what God wants to do in our lives by faith.